todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home. This is episode 13 of the To-Do List Home podcast, Going to Alaska, Heartbreak and Adventure, coming to you from the Norwegian Pearl off the coast of Seattle. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Something by Chemical Romance, recorded on one of their albums. Have a listen at amazon.com, and the link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. As I begin this story, I am 30,000 feet in the air on my way to Seattle with my family. We had planned since early spring to meet my 85-year-old father in Seattle on Sunday, August 28, to begin a 7-day voyage up the coast of Canada and into Glacier Bay, Alaska. Getting here was not easy, nor without its dues. We began the summer with my father by flying him down for a visit during Memorial Day weekend. It is only fitting now that we closed this summer with meeting him for the trip of a lifetime. If you know me already from past episodes, I try to be as economical and practical as possible, but sometimes you just have to put your life's ambitions at the forefront rather than waiting for a perfect time. That's what I did when I proposed to my wife, and when my father said Alaska, I didn't even think about saying that it's where we are going. My father and I had been talking since last December about going somewhere together. He had kept mentioning Spain, and I said, let's go to Argentina, and he said he didn't speak Spanish. He then mentioned a boat ride down the Volga in Russia, and I asked about his interest in Costa Rica. We got nowhere for 2 or 3 months, and then one night he called me on a Friday after I had already had a couple of beers in my belly. He said that the church back home was organizing a cruise to Alaska from Seattle, and I said, that's it. That's where we're going. And that's where I'm headed now. I hope to get some episodes recorded on this trip to bring you up to speed about how to manage your daily expenses so one day you can manage a bucket list trip like this. On Sunday, the 21st of August, I had tempted Mother Nature too much by hanging in the yard as a storm approached. I was tying up some of my plants, and just when I thought I had another minute or two to duck for cover, boom, crackle, boom, shit my pants. I saw and heard lightning at the same time, and it was right above my house. It scared the living daylights out of me, and I ran like a bat out of hell for the house. I almost felt electrified, and it must have been the adrenaline overload. My family was pretty shocked by the noise and vibration, and they were in the home. I was scared and promised I would never fool with Mother Nature again. The following night, I had mistakenly stayed too close to the beehive after deciding to begin feeding them. I determined that there was not enough honey being stored for the bees to survive the upcoming winter, and it was best I concentrated on raising bees instead of honey for this first season. I only used the veil to feed them, and then when I was done, I only moved a little bit away from the hive and began to write some notes. Before I knew it, the most persistent and pesky bee was all over me, in my face, up my shirt, and just looking for a brief second to stick her stinger in me. Once again, I found myself running for cover, ducking in the house, ducking out of the house, and back and forth with a lot of crazy moves I must have picked up from my kids' karate classes. It must have looked so hilarious for my kids as they had a full view of this 2-minute battle that ended without a loser. I again promised Mother Nature that I would be more respectful to the beehive and leave the area after I work with them. Although I was embarrassed about that experience and the one with lightning, I shared them with my neighbor over some beers the next night. I was glad I did because my neighbor had experienced the lightning in the same stupid and scary way I did. It's true. If you hear thunder, get under safe cover because you could get hit and die. So I headed into Tuesday thinking, okay, now all I have to do is mind my P's and Q's, keep my head down with Mother Nature, work hard at my job, and come Sunday I'd be on my way to the big country. An interruption as we are now flying over the Cascades, which include Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier. This is so wonderful for me as I had spent my first year in the Army in this area and haven't seen these mountains, which are volcanoes really, since 1990. Wow! Check out the short video in the show notes. Okay, back to the part about obstacles. So it's Tuesday, August 23rd, and just as I was about to bite into my lunch at 2 p.m., my office at work started to shake. Sometimes the pipes above or something else makes a racket in the building, and that's what I thought it was until it didn't stop. For 15 seconds, my office shook and rumbled, and I was torn between ducking under my desk and checking on my staff. Being a supervisor with new staff on board, I opted to forego personal safety and check on them. Everyone was standing around, and before we knew it, the shaking stopped. Rather than waiting for news from the admin office about what happened and what to do, I instructed staff who had already not decided to evacuate to do so immediately. After some time spent calling my wife and checking on her, the children, and the dog, who were all okay but shook up, I proceeded with a few others to check various offices and cubicles. I exited the building along with other remaining checkers and proceeded to our rally point. Unfortunately, the rally point was set up for fire or other building-specific emergencies. There was no plan as to what to do in case all the buildings in the same vicinity evacuated at the same time. So there we found ourselves in a crowd of thousands standing next to buildings much taller than our own. After about an hour spent trying to find co-workers, an announcement was made by the federal government to dismiss all federal employees for the day. I knew then that getting home would be a challenge. I figured it would be nothing but gridlock. So I made sure all staff were safe and on their way home. I then decided that busing it would be probably better than trying the metro. I was right in the sense that I was able to get a seat for a 2-hour ride that normally should have taken 45 minutes. On the way, I was reading the newspaper and for the first time realized that there was a hurricane brewing and headed straight for the Bahamas. I didn't think much of Hurricane Irene at the time until I read about the likelihood of it hitting the east coast of the U.S. I thought, great, that's all I need now. The trip to Alaska was in jeopardy along with much of the East Coast. When I finally reached home, I found everyone safe and sound and didn't bring up Irene. It's not every day you get a 5.9 earthquake in Virginia, so didn't seem to me much to bring up more natural disaster likelihoods. Until the evening, when the woman from my hometown in Pennsylvania called to note something about the trip. I asked her what she thought of Irene, and she said, "Irene who?" I explained the impact the hurricane might have on our travel to the West Coast, and she encouraged me to look into contingency plans. The next day, I called Delta Airlines, and they said it was too early to tell, and any changes now would cost money. So I waited a day, and early Thursday morning I decided to screw the costs and get a flight for the day before the storm was to hit the D.C. metro area. I spoke with my father and other family members and assured them that I would be in Seattle ahead of my father to make sure he did not get there without us. He was flying from Pittsburgh and his flight was in no danger of being canceled. On Friday I called Delta again and was able to get an even earlier flight for 6:30 a.m. on the 27th of August. I spoke with my father again at the end of the day and he was in great spirits and thrilled that we would not be impacted by Irene. In order to prepare for our absence and the storm, I had a full to-do list, including moving the bees out of harm's way, and upon the suggestion of a neighbor, I put the hive in the gazebo and pulled the screen back near the entrance to ensure they could continue to fly after the storm passed. They were not happy about being moved, but it went without any problems. I refed them and continued on with the packing plans. My friend Tony Wilkins picked us up at 4 in the morning on the 27th and got us to National Airport in D.C. without any problems. Although we did see two almost accidents that could have ruined our day along with others, but skilled driving prevailed. Thus, we were in the air at 7 a.m. and happy. When we landed in Seattle, I called my sister and informed her of our successful escape from Irene, and she was very relieved because she could not imagine my father going on the cruise by himself. We checked into our hotel and went to a nearby restaurant for lunch and a couple of well-deserved beers. Right after our meals came, my sister called me with bad news. Just bone-crushing news. My father was now in a hospital with a condition serious enough to prevent him from going on the trip. What a shitty thing to happen. My family and I went through so much trouble to ensure our safe arrival in order to welcome my father to Seattle, and he couldn't come. This sucked. So we spent the rest of the day in distraught feelings and concerns for my father. We crashed for a little while and then took in the sights of Seattle, all the while trying to figure out what to do. Should we return? Will he survive? The sights of Seattle didn't diminish our distraught, but seeing Mount Rainier again after 21 years was wonderful. Our trek around the streets of Seattle at night was a little hairy, as there seemed to be no concern for people loitering, and especially people of less than honorable character. The next day, we spoke with my father, and he insisted we continue and not disappoint the kids. If I was by myself as originally planned, I would have been making arrangements to return to Virginia and then Pittsburgh, but he said that was ridiculous. He needed a colonoscopy the next day and would be sent home on Tuesday. We felt reassured, but more in tune with what Mother Nature was doing to this trip. Since my father's condition was not life-threatening, we would lose out on the costs of the trip if we didn't proceed. So, we went ahead and met the rest of the group from my hometown at SeaTac Airport on the morning of the 28th as planned. My father's colonoscopy went well, and my sister called to say he would be released as planned. It's a shitty feeling because he should be here enjoying this trip, but I have my family with me. I'm not a cruising type of person, and I could not have proceeded on the trip alone, but my kids are young, and they are loving every moment of this. My wife doesn't like boats, but she has been a lot of fun to be with, and we're only 2 days into an 8-day trip. There's so much more ahead this week, including the challenge of seeing what I can be reimbursed for regarding my father's trip expenses. I had been trying to avoid thinking that this is a boondoggle of a trip, but I will pay him back personally if the cruise line doesn't. The sound you hear is the ship moving through the water as we head up to the big country. Shitty feeling or not, Alaska, here we come. We'll be thinking of you, Dad, the whole trip, and wish you a speedy recovery. That's it for now. Go and do something useful.